Gain presents a tale of longing and long-lasting scent. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Add Gain scent beads for an even longer-lasting scent.
When it comes to these decisions, trade deadline-wise, how involved is John Henry? Does he sign off on it, or is that something that he lets you do yourself?
Yeah, no, I think John is very, very supportive. He's very in tune with, with the players across the league, with our prospects, with the needs of our major league team, and I very much keep him up to date on the conversations that we're having. If he has thoughts, he'll share them. But I think I've come to appreciate that I was hired to be the chief baseball decision maker, and he allows me to do that.
That is Craig Breslow earlier today on the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI, and that answer doesn't surprise me because it's not like Breslow had to go to John Henry and say, hey, I need more budget.
Yeah.
It was.
You got to go over the whatever the tax ceiling is, or whatever the hell they call
we're
it.
We're not going to get into level one of the CBT. So as long as there isn't a big expenditure there, I don't know if he's got to call him up and be like, what do you think about Matthew Lugo or Nico Cavadas? Right, exactly.
One of those guys is Greek.
I thought Menelinda Kanakarides was an actress.
Yeah, Kamakabadas, right? There's none of that going on, but we really don't know any more today than we did before the deadline as to whether or how committed John Henry is to winning and potentially spending money over the next couple of years. We've learned nothing on that end because there was no massive buy. So we're still in mystery in that, but at least Breslow did something.
It's also like you talk about the expectations. It is also who you followed. The last guy, the last 2 years, again, you talk about no gimmicks. This is a gimmick-free trade deadline,
He turned off all the phones at the trade deadline, Heim Bloom, because he didn't want to move anybody.
Every year, it's been some sort of gimmick, and every year, there's been some, like, oh, the players on the team are so mad. Even before the season started, Devers, Jansen, all the veteran players, all the older guys, were in their own way vocal about, hey, listen, show us that you believe in us. He did. This has got to be enough. And for me, it was important that Cora let every player know, guys, this is enough. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be all sad and doom and gloom. No, this is what we need. We're good enough. We can win. Listen, we're not winning a World Series.
Well, that's what I was going to say is now do we have to have the real discussion of what defines winning, what defines a good year? If they don't get the third wild card now, do you look at it and say this was all for naught? Because these are nice players. They went out and sort of fixed the holes and where there was some leaks in the boat, but it's not like they went out and got a brand new boat.
Yeah. Well, so I would say the expectation is you should make the playoffs.
So they should be.
They should make the playoffs.
So game 163 in Fenway Park, hopefully.
I think so. And let's just go back to before the trade deadline, but when everything was perfect, right? And every single person that I talked to that was covering this team on a regular basis, Lou included, Bradfo included, others in the area, this is a playoff team. Listen, hey, I trust them. They still have their moments of sloppiness and immaturity that drive me nuts. But on the whole, their personality is pretty much set, and their manager is still, in my opinion, in a good position to get the most out of this team.
Well, here's the big number as to why adding the bullpen arms yesterday mattered. The Red Sox are 35-8 when they score 6 or more runs this year. 6 of those losses have come since July 20th.
Yeah.
So
it's horrible.
You needed the arms. You got the arms. Now can you survive? I mean, they got pieces. They're not great. but they get pieces. Now can Cora figure it out? Mark in Medford, first up today with Gretchen Fourier on the deadline. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So what I found funny about this year's trade deadline was I'm watching game one of the doubleheader Toronto-Baltimore, and Justin Turner gets up in the first inning, gets a base hit. And then in the, later on in the game, Justin Turner gets pulled because he got traded in the middle of a freaking game. But here's the funny part, guys. I had him in the same game parlay to get a hit in RBI, and they get traded him.
Oh my God! So you got screwed on the bet. It is always weird when those guys get pulled out of games, or you know, there'll always be the pitcher will be like, "Well, so and so scratched. Oh, I must be getting traded." That's a weird one where it's like, yeah, we're going to put you in, and then we're going to pull you out mid-game and, you know, leave the manager high and dry and all that stuff. I saw a thing from Justin Turner in a Seattle uniform saying, hey, I know more guys on the other side than in my clubhouse right now.
Holding up a baseball isn't boring sticker.
If you would have bet, if I were to bet money, I would have bet that in this group might have been Justin Turner, but maybe there's just a whole other plan in place. Maybe Cassis is closer to getting back, so they felt they didn't have to potentially go down that road. But now it is on Alex Cora to, I guess, get him to the playoffs.
Yeah.
See, I don't know.
Are you okay with that?
No,
well, what is your expectation
then? No, because I don't know if this seismically changed the expectations. They, again, Breslow gets an attaboy. First trade deadline, better than Bloom, at least off the jump. At least management's paying attention over there. This didn't move the needle so much that if this team goes 82-80 and they miss the playoffs and they miss the third wild card, but they're a couple games over 500, I think that's overachieving given where we were at the beginning of the year.
Well, I base it on, so you had a run of injuries earlier in the season. You managed that. You've had a run of injuries here after the trade deadline, specifically bullpen guys, a couple bad outings with Jansen. You have this concern with Tanner Hawk and his innings and Cutter Crawford. And like, those are all real issues. And you've really been in every single game for the most part, other than yesterday was over quick. But even the Yankees series, like you could have pulled two out of three in that series. And I forgot the series before that.
Well, they got swept by the Dodgers.
The Dodgers,
then
that's
Colorado,
right.
Yeah, and
that's
then
right.
The
and they almost, yeah. So to me, like they have enough talent to definitely make a run at a playoff, at a wild card game. Like absolutely, absolutely. When you even look at the teams that they're up against, it's the same old players. Kansas City, Seattle, just name a few. And it's you right there. I think they if Slayton comes back, Martin comes back, and then all the guys that they just hired.
Well, Casas coming back as well. You know, you need more offense.
I think that Cora
needs those guys to come back.
That he has a good enough squad. Good enough,
right, to get
to
in.
Make it to the playoffs.
Sure, sure.
That's what I believe he believes.
That game might be on the road, but nevertheless, like you'd love to get it in Fenway, then, free money.
And then you would say, hell, like, wouldn't you say they're ahead of the curve if that happens?
Well, that AL West is the one that's real interesting. If Seattle surges by Houston, I feel like the Red Sox are better equipped to kind of battle Houston right now. Like Seattle loaded up. You know, they did a good job of adding at the deadline to try to surge themselves a little bit. So, you know, Kansas City, well, I mean, what did Kansas City do at the deadline? Nothing that really jumps off the page. We know the Minnesota is never going to be a team that's going to do anything. So it feels like it's those teams in the American League West right now and maybe throw in Kansas City. Who are the kind of the group of teams that you've really got to worry about, play good against? Hey, what happens with Toronto now? And I admit I didn't look at the schedule. I don't know how many left the Red Sox have against Toronto, but they were liquidating assets up there left and right. So that team shouldn't be as competitive over these final 2 months, and maybe it's something that the Red Sox or these teams in the American League East are going to be able to take advantage of. But at the end of the day, guys came in and Cora seems happy. And compared to the day after other trade deadlines around here, that's why it feels like there's at least a step forward.
Yeah. No sulking, no holding your head down. Oh, it's just, it's us against the world. No, no, your management team believes in you guys. We're all in this together.
Nothing will top when they brought in Hosmer late because they got him for nothing, but they'd shipped out Christian Vasquez, and then Heim Bloom wasn't there to talk to the players in Houston or something
Yeah, that's right.
That was an abject failure and an utter disaster. And at least we were able to avoid some of that this time out. Now the Red Sox just got to get back to hitting. Paxton wasn't great last night. It really is true, right? It's the whole, damn it, what's the line? Your momentum is created by that day's starter, something to that effect, basically.
Defense didn't help him out at all.
Well, and you know what's really funny about the defense is it's not just one error. It feels like those football teams where once the first turnover mistake is made, here comes two more.
Yeah.
Like QB throws a pick. Oh, no. Here comes a fumble by someone. You know what I mean? But with the Red Sox, it's like, well, went through the wickets of the shortstop. Well, that one's badly played in the outfield. Oh, hell, that throw went into the stands. Like, it's just one after another after another. I don't know what it is where they just, like, in certain innings or, you know, the back end of games or whatever, they just get ill all of a sudden. Yeah. And as soon as there's one defensive error, here comes another one.
It's almost like, well, geez, he made one. I can, and so now I don't have, I can make one too.
I don't
to me,
get
it's
it.
Like, it's like jumping off sides. It's like, if you have like an epidemic of like offensive linemen jumping off sides, one guy does it, the next guy does it, now everybody's on edge and everybody's jittery and they're just like, on a hair trigger and the slightest movement from the defense, you jump, you're like, damn it.
And then the coaches are running laps with the players
and then they jump off sides.
Well, the Seattle series will end this afternoon here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network, 3:10 the pregame. Brian Bayo scheduled to be on the bump. Then it is an off day for the Red Sox, and they head to Texas. And then early next week at Kansas City, then matched up against Houston. So some of those teams that you got to be concerned with in terms of the standings, the Red Sox will deal with Seattle, and then it's Texas, Kansas City, come home for Houston and Texas. Actually, there's a whole bunch of Houston in here in the month of August and a little bit of Toronto at the end. So, all right, it's matchup time. Here we go. Let's see what Cora can do on a series-to-series basis.